Welcome to the Artemis Live podcast. We hope you've been enjoying our podcast episodes so far and also the Artemis Live videos that we've been publishing lately. We've got a lot more information and data on the website as well, including interviews with so far six leaders of the ILS and reinsurance industry. And of course, you can subscribe to the podcast on all of your favourite podcast services. And we'd appreciate if you liked it on there. Please do visit the website at www.artemis.bm for all of this and much more in the way of news, analysis and data on the insurance-linked securities market. So for today's episode of the Artemis Live podcast, I wanted to take a look at what was going on in Florida right now in respect of the reinsurance renewals, which are due to complete around June the 1st this year. I thought it would be interesting to discuss these reinsurance renewal conditions through the lens of our vantage point as analysts and observers of the insurance-linked securities market. Obviously, the insurance-linked securities market is a significant player in Florida, where the capital markets have augmented available catastrophe reinsurance and retrocession capacity over more than two decades now. But to understand this and how Florida is reacting, or at least the Florida renewals are reacting in 2020, we need to go back a few years first, as it's not as simple as just looking at the last few weeks. And as ever, when it comes to pricing and terms, it's all a little bit more nuanced, and it's actually the confluence of a number of years of different trends and inputs which are now driving the market towards what seems to be a slightly challenging renewal when there shouldn't be any lack of capacity available, but some cedents may find it harder than others to fill their programs out, it seems, at this time. So it's probably important to go right the way back to 2017, and obviously that was the most expensive hurricane loss year on record for Florida and the United States as a whole. The impacts of that was record losses for the ILS market, a number of catastrophe bonds paid out in full or partially, and significant amounts of collateral was also trapped by cedents who were expecting their losses to grow. And grow they did as loss creep really hit the market that year. It was probably the first time that the ILS market really felt what loss creep means, and how long their collateral could be held for, and collateral continues to be held today from those 2017 hurricanes. This was partially unexpected for some people in the marketplace, some of the end investors especially, who perhaps thought that catastrophe loss events would not have the tail that they've proven to have. But really, if you looked at the terms and conditions of transactions, this was always a possibility and actually is just another sign of the ILS product itself working as expected. Adding to all of those things, there is, of course, the issue of social inflation and the litigation environment in Florida specifically around assignment of benefits claims. That has actually inflated the cost of those hurricanes and driven even more losses into the ILS market as well. Again, another perhaps less expected input to the overall claims burden. And ever since then, we've seen reinsurance rates have been rising steadily, but far slower than the market would have really hoped for. And the reaction was very, very slow to begin with. We saw some increases in 2018, but at the same time, we also saw significant inflows into the ILS market as investors looked to replace some of the capital that had been lost or trapped, take advantage of the improved rate environment. But really what that ultimately did in 2018 was dampen rates, because overall, the reinsurance market just didn't react as it should have at the time, in my opinion. Rates were being held down through a combination of traditional reinsurer appetite for growth at that time, plus the inflows of capital from the ILS market. And then, of course, 2018 saw even more losses, particularly with some of the California wildfires, and that began to dislocate the retrocession market as well, resulting in even more trapped capital from the ILS funds, which resulted in a challenging 2019 where capacity was dented quite significantly. But the rate increases started to improve, but they were still seen as insufficient, particularly in the sort of ground zero catastrophe zone of Florida. So some of the RLS funds actually began to pull back a little bit on Florida at last year's mid-year renewal, and this has been seen again at the January 2020 and April 2020 renewals that we've seen so far this year. And then, of course, in 2020, we now have a global pandemic that the industry is dealing with and trying to assess the potential costs and impacts of. And the ultimate effects of this, given the hit to investment markets, plus the expected claims burden, which just today Lloyd's of London said the non-life insurance industry loss could be as high as $107 billion just on the 2020 underwriting year. So that's really quite significant. The ultimate cost to, or the ultimate effect to insurance and reinsurance capital providers is that their cost of capital has effectively increased. And that goes for the capital market investors backing ILS funds as well, and hence return expectations and requirements are quite significantly higher at this time, it seems. So you add all of that together, years of losses, loss creep, social inflation, insufficient rate increases across consecutive renewals, the pulling back seen by some ILS funds, and now the pandemic on top of that, and we're in a situation where rates appear to be accelerating at this time. And we're beginning to see some evidence for this in the ILS market, particularly in the catastrophe bond market. So 2020 began with record catastrophe bond issuance in Q1, and rates were clearly rising at the time as well. In fact, some cat bond rates began to rise in late 2019, the issuance coming to market in Q4, and that continued through Q1 of 2020, albeit at a relatively slow pace and really just reflective of the way reinsurance rates had moved at the January renewals. But these are steadily increasing now, and as soon as the pandemic hit, we saw a couple of deals being delayed, and when they came back to market, the sort of indicative pricing on those transactions had increased quite significantly. Earlier this year, we actually saw a couple of cat bonds pulled completely as sponsors elected to shift back to the traditional market because the cat bond market was not going to provide the type of broad coverage they were looking for at the rates that they were willing to pay, so they have returned to the traditional market and found that they could fill their programs that way. This is obviously a dynamic that we're used to seeing, that some sponsors will flip between traditional and alternative markets purely based on what meets their overall sort of expense goals for renewing their portfolio or renewing their coverage for the year ahead. Now, though, we see coupons beginning to rise at a faster and seemingly faster rate. And we've also heard, and we reported today, that some of the underwriters of larger ILS funds have literally downed their pens and stopped signing on to some Florida reinsurance renewals in reaction to the price and terms that they've been seeing and presented by brokers. It seems that they are not satisfied with the rate increases that are being seen on some of the programs that they would typically sign on to. And so right now they are moving away from completing those renewals at this time. There's obviously a chance that they come back with improved pricing and terms, but there's also a chance that those get filled in the traditional market instead. We're also hearing that there's some pushback on quote shares again around this renewal as well. There's a number of large quota shares that we understand have been in the market, or proposed large quota shares that have been in the market, and again the terms are seen as not conducive to signing on at the rates that have been offered. We understand this is often to do with the collateral release terms, where investors would be hoping that they would be compensated for the potential risk of collateral being trapped perhaps more quickly or for longer. But we're not. We understand that they're not seeing rates that they believe are conducive with the risk they would be taking on in those situations. This is an interesting situation, given that it's relatively unusual for underwriters to literally just down pens and stop writing certain segments of the marketplace. But actually, if you look back at last year's Florida renewals, some of the ILS funds did pull back a little bit. And shifted off some of the programs that they just felt the risks were not paying the returns that their investors would require. And it seems this is perhaps just an extension of that trend. We do expect that all of the renewals will get filled. The traditional market is again showing a strong appetite. We understand that some of the key Florida reinsurance players are going to deploy more capacity, but they're going to back it up with third-party capital where they can. And this seems to be an increasing trend where some of the largest reinsurers will look to buy hedges to support their expanding catastrophe book, while at the same time, obviously, there are key Bermudians reinsurance companies that have significant pools of third-party capital already set aside to write different layers of Florida risk, and we understand those will be probably dominating certain layers of the marketplace at this June 2020 renewal. The latest indications of how the renewal is going came out this morning when we covered the news that the new Everglades Re 2 catastrophe bond from Florida's insurer of last resort Citizens has had its pricing increased, or the pricing guidance increased quite significantly for both of the tranches of notes that it was issuing. This is still set to be a $300 million catastrophe bond. The pricing across the two tranches has risen by anywhere between 14 and 20%, which is quite a significant increase considering these price marks. The initial price marks were only launched around the 4th of May. So in just 10 days, we've seen the pricing have to be increased by up to 20% just to get sufficient investor support to fill that book out. It's likely the book will get filled at these new elevated price marks. The multiple at market would be quite significant for investors and really represents a quite a large uptick on prior year Citizens cat bond deals. But it's encouraging that as a sponsor in the market, they recognise that they will need to pay a higher rate to get the ILS funds and their investors comfortable with the risks that they're assuming. And that's really a healthy approach. And seeing a cedent doing this is encouraging. And we'd hope to see other cedents persisting with the cat bond market, even though the pricing has clearly increased. It's going to be very interesting once this renewal has completed and we have some data on how different segments of the market have executed on pricing. It will be interesting to see whether the cat bond market comes in around the same levels or perhaps a little higher, given the elevated cost of capital of the capital market investors at this time. But again, it's encouraging that issuance remains robust. Just yesterday, we explained that issuance of catastrophe bonds has now passed $6.1 billion. Catastrophe bonds and related insurance linked securities had passed $6.1 billion in 2020 so far. And out of that, there is around sort of $4.5 billion of property catastrophe risk, $461 million of operational risk, $984 million of mortgage reinsurance risk, and $200 million of health insurance or medical benefit related risks. And if we look at the multiple at market, it has increased to 2.88 times the expected loss on average, and that's up from an average multiple of 2.4 times expected loss in 2019, 2.01 times expected loss in 2018, and a low of 1.86 times expected loss back in 2017. So it just shows that the returns in the catastrophe bond market have been steadily rising since the initial influx of major catastrophes in 2017. And we'd expect that the new level of multiple being seen, which is actually higher than anything seen since about 2011 or 2012, would probably become a new benchmark, at least until we see some more significant inflows into the ILS market, which at this time seems like we're probably looking towards the end of the year before we see any significant inflows, possibly even further into 2021. Once the impacts of the pandemic have settled a little bit and the size and reach of that loss burden is better understood. So we're just under 3 weeks to go now until the renewal completes in Florida. Clearly, it's going to be a very busy 3 weeks, possibly a challenging one for some, particularly on the cedent side, who may find that they're a bit challenged in filling their programs this year. But we are seeing traditional reinsurers stepping in with plenty of capacity, so I'm sure the renewals will be completed, and I'm sure that after the renewals are over we'll hear that it's another sort of varied result for the ILS market, with some funds growing in Florida but some others shrinking their books, depending on what their real return targets and return requirements are for their investors. So thank you for listening. I hope this overview of the current Florida reinsurance renewal market dynamics has been useful. Stay tuned to Artemis. Obviously, we'll keep you updated as the renewal date approaches. Please keep up with our coverage on the website, and for details of every ILS and catastrophe bond transaction, please visit www.artemis.bm.